This episode is sponsored by Hacksoft, your Django development partner beyond code. More on their services later in the show.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Will Vincent here with Carlton Gibson. Hey, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And we're very pleased to have on our friend Paolo Melchiori. Welcome, Paolo.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me. As usual, it's a pleasure to speak with you all.
Yes, let me give your quick bio for those who don't know, so you don't have to. But you are Django board member, Python Software Foundation fellow, prolific contributor to the Django codebase, the Django website, prolific selfie taker at conferences where you speak.
Yes.
And you both just got back from Django on the Med, which is the topic of discussion for today. So
yeah.
I'm super happy about this episode because I hopefully I won't have to speak as much. But let me start with a question, which is, how did Django on the Med come about? Because it was originally in your head, Paolo.
Yeah, I remember sharing with you and Carlton in San Diego for the first time. We had this great conference in San Diego after a long period of non-in-person conference for the pandemic. So it was great to meet you all for the first time, DjangoCon US for me. But at the same time, it was a very... A long trip for me from Pescara to San Diego, and a very tiring week. So when we met the first day of sprint with, I remember Simon, I remember Marius, you in the beach in the morning to have a few times for us, I realized that we needed more to this time as a team, as a small group of people, to hang out together, to network a bit, to chat about our life, and at the same time to sprint. And based on the history I found in the past in other Python community, to organize small sprints, to have half time on working on something specific and half time into being together, I remember I proposed this idea. And from that moment, I tried to pose every opportunity. Yes. At the end, Carlton did a good move and forced me in some way to transform this idea in reality with the help, of course, and other people. So it took 3 years, but at the end we did it.
Yeah, I mean the trick was that it was proposed, you proposed it, you did a blog post, there was a forum discussion, everyone's like, yeah, this is a great idea. And then, of course, nothing happens. And another year goes past and it still hasn't happened. And we keep talking about it. And so DjangoCon Europe this year, right, at the sprints in Dublin, we sat down and schemed it. You posted somewhere, you posted a picture, some notebook I picked up at the conference where I was making notes. We sort of signed in blood that we would we would do the event in Palavige.
Yeah, the opportunity was for us to be in Dublin and realizing that we need to create this event. And Carlton and me say, okay, let's find a moment in the year and a place where we can meet, at least the two of us, we say. So if other people will join, good. Otherwise, we spend together a few days and enjoy the time together. But at the end, there were more than two of us.
The danger was it was with you and me at a table, right? We sat in a cafe, the two of us, but in the end, we had 14 people come, which was really good for like a first go, because it could have been just us, and it could have been, say, four or five or six people. We could have got house, just one house group. But then, by the time we got 14, we had like three tables worth, right, that were sprinting together.
Well, I just have to mention, so Paolo, you wrote up a very detailed blog post that we'll link to with all the photos of everyone together all the days. So we will link to that, but it was well documented.
Yeah. the trick was to every day took some picture and post on Mastodon, also Carlton
did
a lot of them and the other. So I tried to aggregate all these posts together and with some automatic script to create the blog post.
So this is the Django on the Med hashtag that you can follow along, folks.
Yes,
exactly.
So you can feel. And just while we're showing stuff, I'll just show it all. So this was the website that went up about the event, and then the forum to subscribe.
My post Django on the med homework is to flesh out the site, move some of the Palavagel details to a separate page. We've got a value map of some of the things that were achieved, so that we can demonstrate the value of this. I mean, so I'll let me phrase it as a question, Paolo. For me, we really demonstrated the value of it. Just some amazing things were done in the short amount of time by the small group of people. And I think now we can go from, look, isn't this a nice idea, to look, and we did it, and it's valuable, and can we now get behind it as a community?
Let me just link, we'll also put it in the notes, but there were 5 different PRs opened, one closed, right?
One's already merged, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't all just drinking in the sun.
Yeah, more than that, some people contributing in some documentation. I was working in a script to create the metrics of the feature flag for the ORM. So we are putting together a document that I think we'll share the next weeks. So not only the issue on GitHub, but we discussed this more things than that. We created more value than what you can only see in GitHub. And the better part, I think, is the connection that we created each other. So we came back to having more connection because new people show up, and people that you met only online for a long time, you spent quality time together, and was very, very interesting to do.
Yeah, I was jealous. I was actually on the Met as well in Cyprus for a company event, but I was following it every day. And actually, we can mention, so Mark Smith, one of the people who was there, just joined JetBrains. I don't think PyCharm, but so now he's a colleague of mine. So
the two of you can organize an edition of Django on the Med in Cyprus. Yeah,
I'm open to it. Yeah, we were in Paphos. So the entire PyCharm team. So kind of same thing you were saying. Like a lot of these people I work with, but I hadn't met in person, and there's a similar mix of some fun stuff, some work, but nothing replaces in person, so it's important to have.
I think as well, one thing that worked really well was that we did sprinting in the morning from 8 a.m., which was early. We had breakfast, coffee, croissants, stuff to get us going, and then till 2 o'clock when we broke for lunch, and then people had the afternoon to explore. They could, walk in the woods or go to the beach, or walk along the Cami de Ronda, which is the coastal path we have here. I think people seem to like it, no?
Yeah. So I was able to go and swim in the sea, which was great. I didn't do a long swim, but I saw a lot of the coast, the fish. Other people like Marius went for multiple runs around. People have a drink, people enjoy the beach or the Palafrugell in the town. So everyone did what they wanted to do to relax and to decompress after the work in the morning.
Right. There was someone, I think it was on Fastodon, Marius documented his runs, and one of them was with Simon, but someone called him the Paolo of runs at Django events. So that's high praised.
Yeah. I saw Eric posted that, now Marius is the official selfie run.
Yeah, selfie runner. But I want to ask, so Django on the Med, the idea was that this is what, twice a year, right? So it's been in Spain, but then it'll also be in Pescara. Is that still...
We're going to move to Pescara next year.
Yeah.
Well, because that mug comes from when you went to PyCon Italia, Carlton.
No, Paolo got it for me as a gift for this time.
Well, you also went.
Yeah, I was specifically thinking of this moment when Carlton was able to show the Pescara mug in front of the camera. No, I mean, I'm joking. Yes, this is the plan to organize twice a year, and in a period that is not high season. So this year the weather has been marvelous in Palafrugell. We was able to run, to swim in the sea, but it was not so crowded. At the same time, it was sunny, but the prices of the everything was not high, the flights and the hotel rooms. And we want to try to do the same things in Pescara. More or less the weather is similar. We are still in the Mediterranean, specifically in the Adriatic Sea. And the original idea was to organize in April, but since we organized it in the beginning of May, we'll let you update on that. But the goal is the same, to organize in an area not so touristic, but still a great area to explore in a period that is not so high season, to let everyone not spend a lot of money to reach us and to be there together and try to explore different area in the Mediterranean. But we are open also to other locations like Cyprus or other...
Malta, goes based on Malta. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people around the Med, right? So the theme is very simple. You know, if you're in the Django community and you can see the Mediterranean not too far from your house, then, you know, that's not.
And it counts. Yeah, France would be nice. If somebody in France wants to. Well, and Paolo, I remember back 3 years ago when you first were talking about this, you mentioned that the Plone community that you worked in had something similar. I think you said, you know, Plone had these events. I think you even asked me, has Django ever had them? And I don't think so. Yeah. Was that the initial, what, or one of the inspirations?
The Plone community has been the first I ever been. It was the Python community has I ever been. And they used to organize a conference, but also sprint in this way. If I remember correctly, the first one was in Sorrento. After organizing a conference in Naples, organized nearby in Sorrento in a hotel in a very similar way we did in Palafrugia, off season, but still with good weather and the sea. But they also organized another one in Innsbruck during the winter, and they go skiing after. But other community organized very similar events like that. And then there is also the core Python developer that organize. Usually, see, the last time they organized, I think, in September in Cambridge.
In Cambridge. Yeah, it was at the ARM offices.
Exactly. So they do very similar things. I asked a lot of people, but nobody remembers something like that. So of course, we had sprints after conference, but this type of sprints are totally different.
Yeah, and maybe that's a question or just to expand upon. So there are sprints for 2 days after Django Cons, but it feels to me, again, not having been at Django on the Med, people are a little bit tired and it's not quite long enough. And people sometimes stay for 1 day, but not two. Does that match your experiences? I know, Carlton, you usually were fellowing, so you were running around helping everyone.
Yeah, I mean, when I was fellowing, I would try to run the getting started contributing thing, because at Django Con, you would have number of new contributors turn up each time, and they all need, you know, they needed some guidance. Otherwise, they come, they're giving their time, but they'd be wasting it. Now, Django on the Med, we had, I think, five people who were, you know, new contributors. I mean, they had some awareness. They weren't totally new contributors, but they, you know, self-identified as new contributors. And we managed to get all of them going on, you know, good projects, which was super. You know, including an 18-year-old ticket on the cache framework, which I would dearly love to see resolved. There's an open PR for that,
yes,
which we hopefully get in. And some things about speeding up. That one there at the top there.
Yeah, it's loading with my slow American internet. Here we go.
But you know, we working on that over a couple of days, and you know, to see a new contributor come in and pick up an 18-year-old ticket. It's got a ticket number of something like 5,000, 5,500. That's really low. You know, anything under 10,000 is rare these days. And then there was work on speeding up the static files, the collection, and things that will make really big differences. And these are from new contributors, right? These are from people that aren't established, that aren't, you know, known within the community already. And so that was phenomenal for me. I think you're right. The end of a Django Con, it's often you stay for the first day and then people start flying out. It's not enough time to sit down and get a dedicated piece of work done. Whereas in 3 days, we had, you know, a really good amount of time. I mean, you know, Marish has taken on implementing DB native cascade. So when you've got the on delete clause, instead of having it done in Python, so it collects all the objects and walks the tree backwards, you'll be able to use the database constraints there, which for years has been one of those performance gotchas when you start scaling up your project and you you know, you have to delete a whole tree of objects and you've got thousands of objects being deleted all in memory. That's going to be a massive optimization for a lot of people. And Marish said quite openly, there's no way he could have got that done without being at Django on the Med, where, you know, Simon Charette was there, Liddy was there, Jacob Balls, the new fellow, was there. And those, the four of them together working on the ORM, you know, they're all ORM sort of specialists. And to have the four of them in the room working together.
Yeah, there's this photo. Let me see if I, oops, not that one.
Yeah, that is
of, the photo. Yeah, no, sorry, on the wrong. Yeah. As,
so the four of them there with a whiteboard doing work that just literally isn't possible to get done online.
Right. You know?
Yeah, I remember for the first time being in the sprint of DjangoCon Europe 2017 in Florence. That's been my first time. So at that time was very great for me because I only was an attendant of the conference. I had no responsibility or talk to deliver. So for me, it was great. Went there full of energy, and it was great to speak with everyone. I share in every talk this image with me, Marcus and Matt Hamill, working my first issue. Then I realized after conference by conference how different can be the same event, the sprint, because when I went in other sprints, when I was supposed to deliver a talk, I found out myself at the end of the conference very tired, and I tried to join the sprints. I tried to share what I learned, but I realized also that I already had a few energy to share with other newcomers, and the worst is when I help organizing some conference. I usually try to help organize PyCon Italia and other conference. In the case, it's less energy you have at the end of it. So it depends from what role you have in the conference. Having the sprint at the end can be something that you can enjoy, or you can put a lot of energy or not. So the idea for this type of event is to don't have to have a lot of responsibility, create a talk or other things, maintain the event the less structured as possible, so everyone can enjoy it. Carlton did a lot of job finding for breakfast and other things, so he worked there, but I hope it was not too much for him to do, and he was able to enjoy the 3 days.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Yes, there's a lot of work organizing things, and what was interesting was because it was just you and I doing it at small scale, there's lots of things we couldn't do. You know, we knew we couldn't do them beforehand, so that took the pressure off in a way. It's like, give yourself permission to do it in a small scale, and then prove that it works. And then we can, you know, get more people on board to try and do more in the future. But yeah, I mean, so I was working on what I've nicknamed the Fast Django Project. You know, it's just about benchmarking Django. This came up in the roadmap. So in the first morning, we held a roadmapping session where we went through various things, and we'll do a write-up of that and the findings that we had. But it was a really great session, and the conversations again in the room, which just don't work the same on the forum or on the GitHub issues. There's an understanding that you can reach between people that sometimes gets missed in those written online environments. But coming out of that, there was this talk about, you know, can we benchmark Django? Can we profile it? Can we improve the performance? Okay. So I didn't manage to get much actual coding done for that, but I did manage to get a Google Doc worked out with an outline of things that I'm then come back to and work on. And more, I can open up to, you know, contributors. I can say, look, here's an outline of work that needs to be done. Can we, you know, anyone fancy putting this bit together? Anyone fancy putting that bit together? And hopefully then we can get some speed momentum for that. But I did have just enough time and energy to get that.
Well, there were some interesting, I mean, not benchmarks, but I mean, there's the Nano Django project, but then I'm blanking on the name of it, but the person you worked with on template Google Summer of Code, he's got a project. What is, maybe he has two projects.
He's got two projects. So one, he did a thing called, I think it's called Django Rapid, which is just a kind of example of a REST view layer using what's called message spec serializers. And then he profiled that against Fast API and showed that, you know, within, you know, you're getting comparable performance already with Django using modern serialization techniques but compared to, say, fast API. And that's a nice benchmark, because we always hear this story that Django's slow. No, Django's not slow. If you know, a lot of the benchmarks are comparing, say, async to sync, and they're not running enough workers to really exercise the CPUs on sync because you've got blocking operations. So, you know, that thread is just sat there idle, so you have multiple workers in order to get good throughput on a sync deployment and things like that, and the problems like that. And also, you know, a lot of this is from a few years ago. That's Django Bolt, the second one. Lots of it from a few years ago where Django wasn't as fast. And what we need to show is, look, this is what Django was doing. This is what it's doing now. This is what you're capable of. That Django Bolt project there is a whole nother exciting thing again. So that is using a Rust front end in front of Django. So why is Python historically gone slow? Well, you've got this GIL and the whole excitement. One of the exciting things about Python 3.14 coming out is the free threaded Python core. Try and say that with a lisp. which will remove the GIL so that you probably have to have proper concurrency with threads, whereas previously we haven't had that. Now, what the Django Bolt project there is using Rust threads, which are proper OS threads, not bound by the GIL, to run each separate Python handler. And he's getting results like, what does he say, they're achieving 60,000 plus requests per second.
Yeah.
With Django, which is just lightning fast. Like, I mean, that's
faster than amazing. Other frameworks that we know and love too, I think.
No, absolutely. And there's no reason why they couldn't do the same trick, right? But it's kind of a trick, right? Rust is much faster than Python. Why is Rust much faster than Python? Well, A, it's lower level code, it's compiled down code, but also you haven't got these GIL problems and whatnot. Well, if you use Rust to take the GIL problem out of it, you can make Python go quickly. You've always been able to do that. But what Farhan is doing is demonstrating this. And hopefully with that and with some nice benchmarks and some blog posts and other such things, pulling all of this work together, we can help change this narrative that we have in the community that somehow Django's slow when really it's not.
Hacksoft is your development partner beyond code. From custom software development to consulting, team augmentation, or opening an office in Bulgaria, they're ready to take your project to the next level.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, benchmarks, right? If it's not measured, sort of doesn't count in a way. I mean, there's the same thing going on with LLMs, right? Like with what is, we were discussing with Jeff Triplett. I think that episode comes out after this, but you know, 42% or something of the SWE verified is just Django tests. And so, yeah, it's like we all love a number, but it's like, where did that number come from?
And yeah, and Jacob Walls was joking about when we were discussing this about doing a blog post about, oh, Django's so slow, and then getting some ORM stuff, you know, might be costly, and then just tweaking and going, oh, actually, if I did this, then it comes out of this. Oh, yeah, where this, what it comes out as is lightning fast and more than fast enough for any service level requirement you might actually have in the real world.
In the web field, speaking of this benchmark, sometimes it's not correct at all. I remember a very great talk of Antonio Kuhn, a core Python developer at EuroPython. He was demonstrating how Python is slow for certain things, but in a way that it doesn't matter, for example, in the web context, because when you have to interact with other services, services like your cache, your database, the things that matter is not how the language is fast or not, because more of the time you were waiting for others to give you content. The great things we saw during the Django on Demand was to see two great guru of the DRM like Simon and Marius working on trying to find a way to improve. Marius was working to improve and speed up the delete phase on tracking the DB. So the more we work on that topic, I think the more the world system will be faster. And another interesting thing is the asynchronous connector in the DB. That is another great pull request that is still waiting for be completed and merged. And the more we know about this topic, the more we can improve. What I tried to explain in an article I wrote just before the Django on Demand.
I gotcha. I was going to mention it. Here it is.
Yeah. We need to measure what feature we have and what number we can improve. the more feature we have for all the database, the better will be the experience for everyone with Django. And the feeling that Django per se is not slow. So the language is not something that impacts so much in the experience in Django.
Just on that point, it's like what really frustrates me about benchmarks is, you know, people just do these synthetic benchmarks, and so rarely do they talk about, well, how many requests per second do you actually need? What is your service level requirement? What is the throughput you need? Most websites, if it did 100 requests a minute, that would be like amazing. But you can do thousands of requests a minute without even breaking a sweat on the smallest of instances. And yet people are like, oh, I can't use Django, it's slow. It's like, well, how fast does your service really need to go? And it doesn't. The second thing, though, is just on that DB grid, Paolo and Jacob Walls were able to sit there in the first morning, and they were able to get like the proof of concept for actually putting together the real data for your grid there within, so that's dummy data, right, still, Paolo?
Yeah, exactly.
The idea there was to demonstrate that it's like what we need, but you had within a couple of hours, you had, you know, proof of concept.
With the help of Jacob, we created a table for the feature flag we already have in the database driver for the four database we had internally. So, and also we found a way to improve this documentation, but the proof of concept has been made the first morning together with Jacob.
Oh, it hurt me that I couldn't be there.
We did wish.
Yeah. I did want to call out, you did have at least one sponsor, right? Python España.
We had three. Yeah. So Python España very nicely sponsored the breakfast. So thank you, Python España. And the DSF gave us some sponsorship as well. So thank you, DSF. And also Button Down sponsored the newsletter, which, you know, it all counts and it was something that if I hadn't had that, I'd have been like, well, how am I going to do this? So thank you again, Button Down there, and as well the Ajuntament de Palafrugell, which are the council in Palafrugell. They provided the venue and, you know, lots of help there, so you know, I wanted to thank them.
Yeah, absolutely. So should we switch to books, other things we wanted to mention? What else?
Yeah. Well, okay, I mean, so have you got any leftovers?
Are you, Paolo, before we switch to...
Yes. The things I want to say is to Daniele, that it has to track everything we did during the sprint. It was very, very effective in help us learn how to track everything, how to provide the value of what we did. Sometimes we want to solve an issue and then we start thinking to the next one because it's what we do, it's what we like. And Daniele did a great job in helping us to tracking everything, and maybe we'll share something after the event. It's a lot of knowledge on this field, so it's been very, very effective in doing that. I think also Carlton appreciates that.
I think this event was so successful that if we can't show that, we're on to us just saying, oh, it was really good. If we can really point to something that, you know, look, these concrete things were achieved, then not only can we get the community on board for the future editions, not only can we, you know, help it to grow into a bigger event, but we can say to sponsors, look, and you really should be backing this because look what comes out of it. There was this line on the Python blog about the core developer sprints there, that the sprints are the best bit of a conference. And the great thing about the core developer sprints was, well, they're sprints without the conference bit. Well, same on Django on the Med, right? It's where the work's going to get done ultimately. So to be able to demonstrate that is great. And for Daniele to bring his expertise there is something that we just don't have. You know, it's a tool, you know, set of tools that we're not equipped with otherwise.
So if anyone is interested in the next one, they should definitely sign up for the newsletter on the Django and the Med site. I mean, we'll feature it in the Django News newsletter, but that'll be the announcement.
And it's going to take me a couple of weeks to, you know, refresh the site and get Paolo on board contributing to it so we can get it moving forward. But yes, basically, keep your eyes peeled. We will be pushing it forward for May next year in Pescara.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're at the book section of the show. Carlton, do you want to go first?
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to say I've been reading this book, which is How Infrastructure Works by Deb Chakrara. It's a wonderful book. It talks about water supplies and other such infrastructure things, but how they form systems and how we fit into those systems. And it's kind of perspective changing. You know, it's like everyone likes to think that they're this freestanding thing, but we're very much not. We're very much nodes in a much bigger thing. And I'm really enjoying it. I recommend.
How did you find out about it? How do these things cross your
attention? I think flying past on Mastodon one day, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll check that out. And then I Googled it, and then I was like, okay, wow, that looks great. And then I ordered it, and it arrived, and it's like, oh yes, this is a lovely perspective changing way of looking at it. She's some kind of engineer, or maybe she does a teaching it, but you know, the way she places the human being in their built environment, in their social environment, not so much social, but in their physical environment, the built physical environment that we depend on so much, and is able to talk through the interconnectedness of it all. It's eye-opening, really, I think.
All right, I'll add it. Yeah, she's a professor, actually here near Boston. So.
Right, okay, there you are. Yeah, she talks a lot about Boston, actually, in the water supply and whatnot. I was going to bring it up to you when we were...
There's a few professors around here. Paolo, did you have one you wanted to mention?
Yes, of course. I have more time these days, so I'm trying to reread something I already read.
This was not planned, by the way. This was not planned.
Yeah,
I'm working on the update. Okay, so he's showing Django for professionals, but yeah, I'm working on the update. Well,
yeah.
Paolo, you've long talked about a book you might want to do. Is there anything you want to say around that? Right? Can we say that publicly? A book that you might write, since you've written a lot around search databases.
Yeah, of course. I was thinking, I did a lot of job in the past as a consultant, and in consultancies, a lot of time we try to help customer to improve the performance of the project or start using best practice. So it's something that I try to write down and to have a lot of a list of things to do or things we experience, and maybe it's something I can share in the future if I will have enough time to be there and write down all the things. Yeah, which I say, I think I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's a bit like in my experience, like a sprint. You need a chunk of time to commit to it, because you can't just 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there. I mean, maybe some people can, but you really need ideally a couple hours, ideally a couple days, because just, you know, there isn't a one-to-one time to words on the page process. Like code, right? You know, it all counts, but you need these blocks of focus. Well, I would read it, of course, if it comes out.
Thanks.
And so for me, I've got this more Everything Forever, yet another book about AI overlords, space empires, and Silicon Valley control. I still haven't quite gotten enough of this. I know you're a bit bored of the topic, Carlton, but I'm finding new ways to be enraged by what's happening. So
I'm impressed by your stamina on how many AI books you can read.
Well, I'm just not that knowledgeable about it. So I'm starting to see some repeats and patterns. Everything comes down to people, even though it's code, right? It all comes down to people. And so if you, just like in any organization, I find if you look at the background of the top person in an organization and you can tell the DNA of it. So if it's a salesperson, it's a sales B2B organization. If it's an engineer, like JetBrains, PyCharm, that's a different thing. Both have strengths and weaknesses, but it all, People are endlessly interesting. I think that's what it is for me, Carlton. The tech, you know, but the people and the motivations. And also, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting who someone that, maybe it was Mario? Someone at DjangoCon US mentioned this book in particular in one of the talks. Yeah.
And that's how it popped onto your radar.
That's how it popped onto my radar. I was like, oh, they're one. You know, these ones are fun too, because I can read them so fast. You know, it's not deep literature. You know, I can blast through it in a couple sessions and pick something up, take some notes, and then, what else?
Well, we've got a project. I've got a project.
Project.
Adam Johnson, he's just released a new package called Django HTTP Compression. I can put the link.
Ooh, yes.
Now, what this is a kind of middleware type thing, which will apply modern encryption compression, sorry. So we've got the gzip middleware, right? But there are much better compression algorithms now. There's Zstandard, which is now in the Python 3.4 standard library, Brotli and gzip as well. And if you just swap and use one of the modern ones, you're going to get better compression and better performance. And it's just not great. It's like, yeah, this is wonderful. And you can configure this at, say, the Nginx level or whatever your web server is. But a lot of times your Django project is sat, you know, on a generic platform as a service, and you want to use one of these middlewares yourself. I think this is a super project. It wraps it up. It demonstrates it. It gives the proof of concept. And I think this should be on the, you know, the path for inclusion on Django, in Django core. It's precisely the kind of thing that Django to sort of package itself. It's not, you know, it's generally useful. It's something that we can recommend to everybody. Sort of thing you don't really want to be implementing yourself. Yeah, that's so
hard battery.
You know, I'd like to see this gain some pickup, and you know, if it's, once the bugs have been worked out, there's no reason why this can't be, you know, added into Django.
Okay. Well, I'll mention one, because Paolo, I don't know if we mentioned the projects part to you, so I'll give one, which is based Pyrite, which one of my colleagues at PyCharm is a co-maintainer on. So this is the Pyrite fork with type checking, and so type checking in generally is an area I need to learn a bit more about. You know, obviously I've done basic stuff, but there's all these new things coming out. So Astral has TY. There's, was it PyRefly? That Facebook Meta just put out. Typing is big. And specifically on PyCharm, we've long had our own built-in type checker. And we're, you know, we hired Morgan, who's great, to figure out what the next generation looks like. So yeah, I'm playing around with that. Sorry, go ahead.
It seems an exciting time for type checkers. They say, like, once upon a time there was just you know, MyPy, and then there was the Microsoft one, which it was good, but then it was closed source and didn't have plugins. So, you know, maybe the type checker bit was open source, but then the VS Code extension was closed source. And so it's a bit like,
the same thing with the debugger. There's sort of a history of open source things, and then Microsoft hiring people, and then
now it seems like there's three or four different options out there and I'm not entirely convinced or not entirely sure which one I should be using, but it's nice that there's options.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. I mean, Python tooling in general, if we can lump that in, there's a lot of change. So yeah, it's an exciting time. I mean, no one's quite sure. I mean, so again, Morgan, my colleague, he's got opinions, and he's tasked with sorting out exactly what the next generation looks like within PyCharm.
I haven't prepared a project myself, but it is a feature I find very interesting. Maybe I think I work on that with an article. Maybe was the new release for Python 3.14 that added the support for the UAD version 7. Also, that was being released a few days ago. Also, Postgres 18 released the last month added this new feature. So in theory, it's already been able, we have already been able to use that directly in Django, and we want to experiment on that. We had a chat about that with Simon and Lily at Django on the Mat. It's been interesting to see that Django can be already used this new feature that are very interesting in the context of the database. So try to experiment on that and share what they find, if you can.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, as we wrap up, Paolo, is there anything you want to share about what comes next for you, professionally or otherwise?
Yeah, I'm in searching for a new job opportunity right now. It's been a year of consultancy, and I want to find something new, of course. If I can, working with Python and Django, the things I'm more experienced at, also with Tim. And if someone is searching for an engineer, I'm hoping to...
Super engineer. To,
yeah. Yes. And other than that, we'll start working on the next edition of Django on the Mat for the spirits. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So we'll put a link. If anyone doesn't already know how to contact you, LinkedIn is the best way. So we'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile. Yeah. But I would hire you if I could. So Carlton.
Yeah, all my contacts on the website, other than LinkedIn, if other people are more comfortable using, you know, Mastodon or any mail, just an email is on my website.
Yeah, I'm desperate to get my company to the next level. It's still just me and Mark. We're still going. You know, I want to get us to the point where we've got a little pool to hire people, because every 6 months or so, somebody, you know, some superstar from the Django ecosystem is on, you know, comes up and you're like, no, I need to grab them, and I can't. They keep slipping through my fingers.
Yeah, maybe next year. I'll just end with, this is, even though I wasn't there, I was there 3 years ago when you first were mentioning this, Paolo, and I think I've been there through many of the steps, and so I'm very pleased that the two of you took the initiative and did the hard work to make it happen, because it needed to happen, right? I think both for the Django community, but also like the sprints weren't enough. And so hopefully this sets a precedence that can be repeated.
No, and it was amazing. Like, it, you know, there were things that we weren't able to do because it was the first time and it was just the two of us and what, okay, those things are totally fine. But of all the things we wanted, it was just a brilliant event. And the next ones are going to be even more.
Yeah. The thing that made me very happy to read some those that people shared, Iris and Daniel and others, and him, how they appreciated the fact that being there and meeting for real new people, speaking with them, and how they was, for them, was able to achieve something that they waited for so long to achieve, and in other contexts was not able. So seeing that people get something useful from that and they join was very, very great, and I hope that in the future will be more initiative like that, not only maybe Django Development, they can organize also another place in the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Django Cons are, there's Django Con India this year, you know, Django Cons are spreading, hopefully Django Con Africa. So yeah, Django on the blank. But you don't have to do all the work, Carlton and Paolo. That would be the goal. Paolo, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing this. Again, I wanted to hear from Carlton and you how it went, and hopefully this shares the story with other people as well who weren't able to attend.
Yeah, thanks for having me to be able to share this which you all has been incredible to did after a long time. We spoke for the first time together, and now we are talking in at past.
yes, in the past tense.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you, Carlton. Did you have something to say?
No. Don't let me interrupt you.
Okay. Yeah. Don't interrupt me doing the ending. So we're at djangochat.com. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode was sponsored by Hacksoft, your Django development partner beyond code. Learn more about their services in the link in the description.